For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, April the 1st, 1995. Spring camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Colonel Speed Wilson, Marine Corps retired, America's most decorated man of World War II, Korea, and the Vietnam War, will be speaking. There are some here that have never met Colonel Speed Wilson before until this camp meeting. So for a couple of minutes, I will take the privilege to introduce him. He may throw something at me, I don't know, but Colonel Speed Wilson is America's most decorated man of three wars. He's retired Marine colonel, served 7 years in the Pentagon in Washington and the White House, staff assistant to some of the there in the White House, he was quite often.
Whoa. Working with the National Security
Council. National Security group, and served there before he retired. He served in World War II as a Marine fighter pilot, was shot down three times in the Pacific. The Lord took care of him. Served in the Vietnam and Korean War, was shot down again behind the Coral. Is that the way you say that?
The 38th parallel.
Yeah, the Coral Mountains.
Yeah, no. Just up at Wonsan, up in that area.
Yeah, he was shot down behind the mountain and had to, the Lord got him back over the mountain after his one engine was shot out and took care of him. And then he served in Vietnam as commanding officer of the Marines there for a while. And then the Lord got a hold of him and got him into the Pentagon. And he's been learning and serving the Lord and working for the national security of we who declare that Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
The Lord's got him working for Jesus to help us understand where we are and what's going on in the nation and what we need to know about it so that we're aware and not ignorant of the things that are taking place in our nation.
Amen.
So it's a privilege to have Colonel Speed Wilson and Jack Harris and Dr. Null as board members of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp to help us in major decisions and guiding and directing us. And the days to come, they're going to have to help us more and more than they have in the past, because we are needing more help from those to give us wisdom and help us. And we appreciate these men to stand with us and to help us in that which the Lord has called us to, and for what the purpose of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is, to be a place of deliverance, to set the captives free, that we may walk in the righteousness and holiness of the Lord, to become the bride of Christ without spot and wrinkle, the manifestation of the sons of God eventually in the earth. That day will come. It hasn't arrived, but it will come. And I trust that we all desire to be part of those people who the Lord will use to rectify the things that are in the earth today that have to be changed in the hour and the day of the kingdom. Amen, amen. Well, Colonel Speed, come and teach us this evening.
Good evening. As we'd say in the Corps, at ease. And that doesn't mean fall asleep. Good. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you brought us to this place, and we know that your word will not return void. We've seen demonstrations of that. And now tonight we're going to look at the world that we're in at this present time. Lord, let us say all that you would have said, the way you would have it said, nothing more, nothing less. And please, dear Lord, let it be heard the way you would have it heard, that we be able to apply the knowledge that we will try to impart this night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I've been here quite a few times. In fact, I had known Glenn and Irma. I was sitting there sort of recounting in my mind. I think we've known each other for almost 30 years through the full gospel businessmen circle and other.
That's the first time in Washington, D.C., back in 1966.
7 or... Yeah, right around that time frame. Somewhere. Sure. And I had the privilege of being the first active duty military individual to be elected international director in the Full Gospel Businessmen, and was served in that capacity for 14 years. Well, and we've talked about this conspiracy, and it is a conspiracy quite a few times here, but I'm not going to repeat that tonight. But I would encourage you, of those that have not heard the introductory of the world conspiracy, we will call this to get it, because they have it here. In fact, there's a brochure back there on the table that lists some 13 tapes that they have here of the teachings, and if you would prefer, get them from them. And so this one tonight is going to be World Conspiracy Part 2. So we're just going to pick up where we would have left off. And if some of the things I say need some amplification, they are amplified on World Conspiracy Part 1. And then there's a tape entitled The Conspirators Named, which takes about an hour to name all the people that are with us today and still very active. And you will come to the conclusion when you watch television that you're seeing a conspirator interviewing a conspirator. They just keep a closed book on the whole thing. And the news media, all of that, we've named in that. Well, today being the first day of April 1995, April Fool's Day, the fool has said there is no God, so I guess there's still a few still around. That was like the one about Dr. Kennedy says the atheist was fishing, and he got a nibble, and he pulled it out, and it was a note on there, and it says, "There is no God," signed God. So he always used that as proof that there was no God. You got to pity the poor atheist who spends all of his life finding a God that he says doesn't exist. God said 9 times in the New Testament, "I would not have you ignorant." There's a joke goes along with that. Most often it says, "I would not have you ignorant, brethren." There's a lady, a beautiful girl in a church, and about a dozen guys who are convinced that she should be their wife. But she wasn't having any of it. And one of them demanded, being a Christian, that she give him a biblical answer. So she must have picked out one of those 9 ones, only she repunctuated it to make it read this way: "I will not have you, ignorant brother." So a comma can make a difference. Well, the opposite of ignorance would be knowledge, wouldn't it? I saw a bumper sticker the other day that said, "If you think education is expensive, try ignorance." But we're going to talk about knowledge tonight. Well, what does the scripture say? Proverbs 11:9, "Through knowledge the just shall be delivered." Well, you've been getting a lot of knowledge here on deliverance and being delivered. You didn't live in ignorance anymore. Proverbs 28:2, "By a man of understanding and knowledge, his state shall be prolonged." Isaiah 5:13, "My people are taken into captivity or slavery because of the lack of knowledge." And Isaiah 53:11, "By knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many." And one you hear quoted all the time, Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." And that isn't even near the end of the sentence. It says, "Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you." Very serious. 2 Peter 1:5, "Give all diligence and add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge," and so forth. Isn't that interesting? Knowledge was listed third importance. In 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show yourself approved." Well, study brings knowledge and understanding. And this will not be a spiritual message tonight, but I do hope to impart some knowledge to you that can save you in the future a lot of suffering. And we're going to talk about the conspiracy in this part two on its origin, its objectives, its organizations, and its current operations. Operations meaning what are the rascals doing now? Origin. Near as I can tell, it originated around 800 B.C., 700 B.C. at Babylon, conspiring to rule the world. And around 1100 A.D., the Knights of the Templar, common known today as the Masons. And an offshoot of that around that time was the Skull and Bones Society, of which George Bush was a third-generation member, Satan worshippers. And there are at least three senators who are Skull and Bones men. And, of course, a little later on, the current conspiracy really began. By the way, if you want to read about those, there's an excellent book I believe they have here. J.R. Church wrote Guardians of the Grail. There's an excellent book on that. But the current conspiracy, which has been handed down, began with the Rothschilds and Weishaupt, Adam Weishaupt, a professor, a Jesuit priest. He claimed to be a Jew as the Rothschilds, but probably a Khazar. If you know what we're talking about. And they created a... Weishaupt was a high-level witch in the Roman Catholic Church, a Jesuit professor. And he wanted to get into Satan worship, and he found that he needed some books that the Rothschilds had. So they combined witchcraft and Satan worship and formed their own Golden Dawn Coven on the first day of May, 1776, and that's the reason we still celebrate May Day today. I'd often wondered why May Day was said. Well, it's interesting, isn't it, that May Day is an international call of distress, so maybe it's not too far old. And their god is Beltane, the god of light, and therefore they became the light bearers, the Illuminati, or the enlightened ones. And very interestingly, their objectives, well, the branch office of the Golden Dawn Coven in the United States is the Bohemian Club out north of San Francisco. Many of our high-level state officials and others in the government have all been members of the Bohemia Club. And what are their objectives? Well, to follow on in that vein, it's very interesting. Many years ago, an excellent book entitled The Unseen Hand by Ralph Epperson, he said, quote, "There is a huge and extreme powerful conspiracy at work in the world to achieve absolute and brutal rule over the whole human race, and that is their objective. This conspiracy is made up of small groups of individuals who control wars, revolutions, depressions, like people control chessmen on a board. These individuals operate in part through secret societies that are created for specific purposes or events. And the secret within the secret is they worship Lucifer, Satan, the devil." And they definitely do. And that confirms it's been going all the way back. Now, to continue their objective is Dr. Quigley.
Hallelujah.
Very interestingly, Dr. Quigley has wrote a very thorough book on it. In fact, 1,384 pages of his book, Tragedy and Hope. And to give you a little background of Dr. Quigley, he is a sponsor of our current president. And our current president acknowledged the influence of Dr. Quigley in his inaugural address. And he sponsored him to become a Rhodes Scholar, as did the senator at that time from Arkansas, J. William Fulbright, who just died recently. And J. William Fulbright being a Rhodes Scholar himself. And we'll come to the Rhodes Scholars in a moment, another part of the conspiracy. But Dr. Quigley, who is a part of the conspiracy, thought it was time that someone put it down for posterity and history. And this is a part of what he wrote. "There does exist and has existed for generations an international Anglophile network that operates to some extent the way the radical right believes the communist act." What an admission. "In fact, this network, which many may identify as roundtable groups, has no aversion to cooperating with the communist or any other group, and frequently do, and still do today. I know of their operations in this network because I have been a part of it, and I've studied it for over 20 years, and in the last 2 years have been permitted to examine its papers and secret records. The American branch of the organization, called the Eastern Establishment, has played a very significant role in the history of the United States in the last generation. In New York, it's known as the Council on Foreign Relations. The aim of the New World Order is to nothing less than to create a world system of financial control in private hands able to dominate the political system of each country and the economy of the total whole world. Now, that's what one of the conspirators actually says, and that's what they're doing. Now, The Valley of Decision is an excellent book published and written at the time that Pat Robertson was seeking the office of the president against George Bush. The book is The Valley of Decision by Dr. Sterling Lacey, and he was trying to alert the people as to who George Bush really is. And this is what he writes in part. Most American Christians have a hard time believing that other Americans could be so evil as to purposely cause wars, wage wars for political and economic purposes, and lose wars and aid the other side while our men are dying on the battlefield. Just to sink their own national sovereignty to prepare America to be just another province in a world government, promote collectivism and amorality, no morals, in order to prepare America for the new world order. Destroy the family and true religion and faith in one God in order to break down the final barriers of opposition and purposely undermine the most rewarding economic system that the working people and the poor have ever experienced in all the history of mankind, all just to create the chaos needed to stampede an entire nation into demanding its own slavery. Out of slavery comes dictatorship. J. Edgar Hoover, founder and many-year director of the FBI, said, "The individual person is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous that he can't believe it really exists." And before we're through tonight, you may feel just that way. But it does exist, and it's coming rapidly into focus. Well, their organizations, and this is just going to be a very partial list of the most powerful of their organizations. The first is the Committee of 300. That's a big policy level. And the Club of Rome, not related to the Vatican, but not completely independent from the Vatican either. Then the Bilderberger Group. That's a composite group created in 1952. It's made up of the world leaders and the Rockefeller Rothschilds share in that organization. They will be meeting this year, June the 8th through the 11th. We haven't been able to determine where. We just know the invitations have been sent out. And then the Trilateral Commission, founded in 1973. Jimmy Carter and Fritz Mondale were charter members of the Trilateral Commission. That group will be meeting April the 22nd and 25th, in fact, this month, in Copenhagen, Denmark. There's something rotten in Denmark again. Trilateral simply means North America. It's the United States and Canada, Mexico now. That's one package deal. Then Japan and her influence in the Pacific, and then the European unity, as it's called, union, as it's called today. That triad, three, trilateral, consumes way over 90% of all the world's wealth, so wherever it goes. And that is an international, worldwide organization. But a United States organization is the Council on Foreign Relations. By the way, David Rockefeller is the head and founder of the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations. The Council on Foreign Relations has somewhere around 1,500 members. It varies from time to time. There's a chart that's available to show you the organizations and how our government has been totally controlled from way, way back. But the Carter administration, CFR, trilaterals, and then, of course, the Reagan administration. Mr. Reagan is the first president we've had since Woodrow Wilson that was not a part of the conspiracy. And then George Bush and, of course, the Clinton administration, all on there showing the CFR and trilateral, and that's a package we'll mention a little later on. And they have ongoing meetings. They really coordinate along. There are 1,500 or so members are made up of bankers and heads of universities and political people all through the whole thing. I might mention that Newt Gingrich is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. as are many other congressmen and senators in the whole operation. And so don't expect a whole big lot of change. A lot of smoke and mirrors, but not much change. And then this is an expanded version of the CFR and Trilateral in a bulletin, and it'll be in a package deal we'll mention later on. An excellent publication by Lieutenant Colonel Archibald Roberts, the Committee for the Restoration of the Constitution. He's done real good. The value of this one is, over on this side, it lists the members of the news media who are members of the conspiracy. At their last meeting at the Bilderbergers, David Rockefeller, with representatives from all the major newspapers and news networks and all there, he thanked them for their keeping the meetings out of the news, and his conclusion was, we could have never accomplished our current objectives without your help. So don't ever expect to hear anyone in the news media talking about what we're talking about tonight, because they're a part of it. Rhodes Scholars, very interestingly, what are they all about? They think it's for an intellectual group. Well, you really don't have to be too smart to be a Rhodes Scholar. In fact, our current president never finished the full course at Oxford. But Sir Francis Weil, the first Oxford trustee of the Rhodes estate, by the way, well, you've got to get the other tape. We'll go into this more detail. But he says this: Rhodes Scholarship is not an educational endowment as ordinarily understood. Its purpose is not to give anybody an education he could not otherwise afford, nor to promote learning, but to encourage in the rising generation of English-speaking people a particular outlook on the problems of the world, to give them, in fact, a political bias. This idea of using scholarships as instruments of political purpose came to Cecil Rhodes, and it has taken shape and has been put in operation now in 1893. So that's the Rhodes Scholars. We've had Dean Rusk, Secretary of State, Rhodes Scholar, and you can go on and on and on of those people they get into. And by the way, I think President Clinton has at least 6 Rhodes Scholars in his cabinet. And, and of course, some other individuals, as you can see on the CFR Trilateral charts. And, of course, their objective is to form the New World Order. And there are many specific purposes in their organizations. There's a whole bunch of other organizations. I would mention a few that are controlled by this conspiracy. The National Educational Association would be one. And the National Council of Churches and the World Council of Churches. And the ACLU, the Anti-Christian Liberties Union, is properly named. And, of course, the environmental group, all of the wild-eyed tree huggers and snail darter savers and all those. And the national group, in that group would fit our Vice President Al Gore. He's a tree hugger. He'd rather kill babies than save the seals but kill the kids. And the New Age religion is, of course, one of their main holes in the whole operation. Well, then, operations. What are the rascals up to now? Well, they're still working toward the one world government. But they do have some immediate objectives. One of the most important things they have in the world, in the United States, is the Federal Reserve System. The Federal Reserve System, if you don't know it, controls our money. It isn't federal, and it has no reserves. So it's misnamed from the beginning. It is unconstitutional in its existence to start with, but it was never properly ratified, so it's totally unconstitutional. And the private stockholders, of course, you would have guessed, were Rockefeller, Rothschild. And a larger portion of our national debt, the interest on our national debt, is paid to the Federal Reserve, because they print money. Well, the Treasury Department prints it and sells it to the Federal Reserve for about 5 or 6 cents per piece of money. And that is, it means that a $1 bill costs the Federal Reserve the same as a $100 bill, about a nickel. But they issue it to the banks at full value, and for the money that's issued, the Federal Reserve takes U.S. Treasury bonds. And, of course, we have to pay interest on those bonds. So it's probably the most inconceivable ripoff that you can ever imagine being allowed to exist. And on the original World Conspiracy, we tell how it did come into existence. There's an excellent four-page thing on the Federal Reserve, and it's a part of a package that I put together, and we'll mention that later on. And they really do control the money. As you know, they control the interest on the money. They control everything. And Daddy Rothschild, Meyer Rothschild, said, if I can have control of a nation's money, I don't care who makes its laws. Well, the Federal Reserve worked so great, founded in 1913 under Franklin, Woodrow Wilson. And that worked so well that Paul Volcker, one of the conspirators, as the Assistant Secretary of State for Monetary Affairs, created the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, of which we support, and like we do the United Nations. Most of your money goes, those organizations exist on our money, not on any other. So it's a worldwide Federal Reserve. It made it possible for the Rockefeller-Rothschild Group to own about one-third of the Earth's land mass, because they loan money to Brazil and all those third-world countries, and they could never even pay the interest on it. So they took their undeveloped lands into a World Conservation Bank and forgave their debts and start all over. So the Rockefeller-Rothschilds now own approximately one-third of the Earth's surface through that type of an arrangement. And if a country can't pay off its debt, guess who does? I'm looking at you. Because all of those bank loans are guaranteed by, you guessed it, the American taxpayer. Recently, when Congress would not allocate millions or close to $1 billion to Mexico, because, well, it just doesn't make any sense. And President Clinton in random and went over to the World Bank and the Federal and the International Monetary Fund and some other places, and he scraped together the money to give them. But there again, it's coming out of your pocket and my pockets. So the Federal Reserve. Well, one of their big movements is to convene a constitutional convention. They tell you that they just want to pass a few more amendments. Well, that can be done the way they were trying to pass the balanced budget amendment. By the way, the balanced budget amendment means absolutely nothing. You can balance the budget one of two ways: cut back on spending or raise taxes. So you can vote a balanced budget, but if you don't make it limited by the gross national product or gross domestic product of the United States, then a relationship doesn't mean anything. Because they can just keep raising taxes. You can bet they're not going to quit spending. So it's just a charade. Doesn't mean anything. It's smoke and mirrors again. But if you, once you convene a constitutional convention, they can throw the whole thing out and rewrite it. And guess who has a new constitution to put in its place? Rockefeller Rothschild, of course. So you'll hear more and more as you go along about the Con-Con, the Constitutional Convention, Con-Con. In fact, our Constitution has very little meeting today anyhow, because in October of 1977, President Carter signed the United Nations Human Rights Treaty. Now, every president since 1945 had refused to sign that treaty, because if that treaty was ever signed by a president and ratified by the Senate, the United States ceased to exist as a free nation. It becomes another province in a New World Order, as George Bush named it. Well, Congress after Congress did not approve it. But on the second day of April, isn't that interesting, 1992... the Senate ratified the UN Human Rights Treaty, and on that day, we ceased to be a sovereign nation. And they did it by a voice vote, so you'll never know who voted for it or anything else later on. You might say that we ceased to be a sovereign nation in 1945 when the Senate ratified the United Nations Treaty. as creating the United Nations. And our Constitution says that treaties become the law of the land and are paramount. They overrule. And many lawyers have looked into this, and they could show you that we ceased to function as an independent law entity around 1945. And the law books really don't mean anything anymore. So we're way along down the way. The preamble to the Constitution of the United Nations New World Order Constitution, the preamble reads this way. Therefore, the age of nations must end, and the era of humanity begin. The governments of nations have decided, the United Nations, in order to separate sovereignties into a one government of justice to which they surrender their arms, to establish this Constitution as the covenant and foundational law of the Federation or Federal Republic of the World. Now, that already exists. So we're into it. Did you know the United States was never intended to be a democracy? It's supposed to be a republic. And the states are paramount in a republic. Man, if the 10th Amendment to the Constitution, which states that those things not specifically delegated to the federal government reside with the states and the people. Well, the only thing the federal government should be doing is providing an international representation, State Department, and a common defense, War Department. That period, that's all the federal government's supposed to be doing. But look at it. The Department of Energy, how much energy have they produced? Department of Education, how much education are your kids getting? If it's in the public system, less than zero. The education they're getting, you would wish they weren't getting. Well, we're moving along real rapidly. The General Agreement on Trade and Tariffs, GATT, turning the control of our economy over to an international body to determine when we violate it and how much tariffs we can run and all the other. Then right after that, the North America Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA. Isn't it interesting? Mr. Kissinger said both of those are an absolute essential to a new world order. If you don't know who Mr. Kissinger is, you ought to get my tape, Mr. 666, erroneously called Antichrist. And he is. He's the man who arranges all of these things. He's the front man for the conspiracy. And, of course, that lumped the United States, Canada, and Mexico all into one neat little package, and it probably, within the next few years, will extend on down into all of South America, making this whole area one big package for the conspirators and draining our resources out into the have-nots. That's the whole idea, is to destroy the United States. We have no base industry anymore. If you lived in Ohio, you would know that. The Youngstown steel mills, all of those, West Virginia, they're all dead. They call it the Rust Belt. We don't have any basic industry anymore. And don't believe the government figures on unemployment either. Well, then we have the European Union, EU, which is a big organization, bigger than the United States, Mexico, and Canada combined as far as people and market is concerned. And that's, it had to get rid of Margaret Thatcher because she wouldn't go along with a central bank over there controlling their money, so they got rid of her and put in a banker, John Major. He is a banker. And then we have the Pacific Rim. Another group, part of the trilateral, that's Japan, China, Korea, Vietnam, Taiwan, and on and on and on. In Vietnam, there's a lot of oil off the coast of Vietnam. We knew that. Chevron and Mobil have gotten a contract over there, and there's more oil off the shores of Indonesia than anywhere in the Middle East, and we know all of that. So that's what it's all about. Money is it. And then the Arab nations, listen and hear what I'm going to say. We probably have more to fear from that group than we do any other group because of the Islamic religion. And the Khomeini's over in Iran, and of course the Saddam Hussein of Iraq and all of that group, and all the way up into what used to be the Soviet Union, there are massive numbers of Islamic people. So that is a real large group of people, and very militant, belligerent, terrorist, all of that sort of thing, and lots of money, oil money. Well, this group has divided the world into 10 regions. Isn't that interesting? They've divided the United States into 10 regions. They like that number 10, apparently. You can tune into any of the television programs, and you hear these people really carrying on about the revival of the old Roman Empire. Well, if you read it again, you'll find out that the stone that rolled down from heaven, the stone not made of hands, destroyed the old Roman Empire, never to become again. But that doesn't matter. They skip all of that. But we find that the 10 regions in Revelation 17:12 were all kings or rulers who had no power except the power that the beast gives them. Well, the beast's system created them, and so they have no power. Then there's the seven heads. That's in Revelation 17:10. The seven heads would represent, guess what? They meet every 6 months. The group of seven. They just recently met over in Japan. And they have power. But the ten have no power except the beast system gives them. So that's one of the problems of the rapture doctrine. Because most of what I'm talking about is happening now isn't supposed to happen until after you're gone. So if you haven't settled that problem as far as the rapture, you really should, because you're not going. You know, somebody asked a lady, big rapture came up and said, well, if there isn't any rapture, how do I get to heaven? Well, that's very simple. Die. But you might, if you die now, you won't be there long, because the Lord's going to bring you back when he comes in the resurrection. Ecology. Fear tactics in the ecology. Boy, the ecology. Boy. Here's their theme. We're all on one small earth, so we have to have a one world government to take care of this small earth. That's their logic. The big meeting down in Rio. And guess what? Who picked up the bill for cleaning up the world? You bet. Good old USA taxpaying citizen. Well, how about the polar ozone layer depletion because of fluorocarbons? That's almost hilarious. The National Space Administration years ago said that was a farce because they found out that the increase and decrease of the ozone layer at the pole has nothing to do with anything that's going on the Earth. It's directly related to the activities of the sun. Well, why don't the government do something about that? You know, you want the government to do everything. In fact, they pointed out that the termites create more fluorocarbons than all the automobiles on the earth. They even had to check out the cows to get them to quit passing gas because they were... Yeah, that was a $30,000 government research to check out cow flatulization. Boy, talk about programs. Well, how about global warming? You're hearing a lot about that. Well, as one scientist said, global warming is just a lot of hot air. But it really is. If you talk about the long-term climate, you know, weather is what's going to happen tomorrow or next week, but climate is what happens over a long period of time. And most true scientists, climatologists, point out that we're coming out of probably the most mild 50 to 100 year period of weather that this earth has ever experienced. My grandfather Speed, who lived in Louisville, Kentucky most of his life, had actual pictures of the Ohio River frozen over with ice 18 inches thick because they went out every winter with cross-cut saws and cut it and put it in the ground, and that's where they got ice. They didn't have refrigerators. Well, man, you don't see that happening today. This hat's getting colder. I spent, it's just the people. And I was so disgusted with an author the other day who was quoting the concerned scientist, America's concerned scientist. Well, I've seen a list of the America's concerned scientists, and they're in the scientists on the list. They're all a bunch of liberal arts people. They wouldn't know a fluorocarbon if they met one. But the real true scientist and climatologist will tell you. In fact, one I stayed in his home up in Princeton, University of Princeton, and Dr. Becker, and he said he can take you up in Canada right now and show you wheat fields that are gradually being reclaimed by ice that's moving down. And if you doubt that, get your old burpees planting, if you can get one, of 10 years ago and see how it's getting colder as it moves down. You know, they tell you where to, when to plant and when not to plant. It's just gradually moving down. Well, then, of course, we have the wild-eyed tree huggers and snail darter savers. They want to kill human babies unborn. But, boy, you destroy a bald eagle egg and you'll be fined $10,000 and could be 2 years in jail. Isn't that sad? To show you how, and all of those people are for abortion, most of them. In fact, they're totally inconsistent in the whole thing. Just recently, a woman who was pregnant, a girl who was pregnant and didn't want to have the child and didn't want to get an abortion, shot herself in the stomach to kill the baby. And so they took her to court and found that she was guilty of murder. And so it became law. It's murder. But isn't it interesting? She could have gone down to an abortionist and paid money and it had been all right. The love of money, the cause of all evil. And, but we're in that time when good shall become evil, evil shall become good. Well, let's talk about gun control. It has to come to pass before they could do very much. Saw a bumper sticker the other day. It says, old Joe Redneck's Redneck Six-Pack, the hope of America's freedom. Probably is, because you can push old Joe Six-Pack just so far, and then his old redneck gets redder, and he'll turn in a little show for you. Well, in the cities where we have the most severe gun controls, like Washington, D.C., New York City, and Los Angeles, have the highest crime rate of violent crimes. In every place where they've instituted the making it lawful to carry concealed weapons, violent crime decreases up to 80%. They always talk about, well, the children being killed. You know how many kids were killed accidentally by weapons in the whole United States last year? 13. More kids are killed by drinking poison and probably tumbling off of bicycles than that, but they'd have you believe a whole bit. By the way, your Senator, John D. Rockefeller IV, has an illegal automatic weapon in his home in Washington, D.C. Carl Rowan, a man that was very strong for gun control, shot a teenager standing at his front door in Washington, D.C. Did you ever notice that all the people that are for busing your kids across town and all that sort of thing all send their children to private schools? Jesse Jackson, all that bunch, they don't send their kids to public schools. Well, Jimmy Carter sent Amy to public school. Look what it got her. But I don't know that anything could have helped that. But anyway, he did. Very interestingly, in Switzerland, where they have a standing militia, everybody between the age of 18 and 50 have to serve in the militia. When they turn 18, they're trained. And each home where those men are have to have a weapon on hand, and they know how to use it. Guess what? Their crime rate is almost zero. New Zealand, similarly. Last year, 1994, in New Zealand, they had 3 murders and 7 felons. One fellow that tried to operate a business here in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and they all ran him out of business. Realize that you have the right to keep and bear arms. To keep and bear arms. And it had absolutely nothing to do with sports shooting and game hunting. The founders of our Constitution, Madison, I think it was, that says a democracy will almost have to have a violent revolution about every 200 years. Well, that's the reason you had to have them. I saw a cartoon not so long ago. Showed the Minuteman. You know, you've seen the Minuteman with his long rifle standing, guarding. Well, here he was, the Minuteman, but all he had was a garden hoe. Can you imagine how the revolution would have turned out? Or the other one with the British soldier looking down at the American farmer, and he has his old musket, and the British soldier is saying, what need do you have with that assault weapon? And so he found out, you know. As I said, the rules of the American Revolution, or the war for independence, was Okay, you British people, you wear your red coats and white cross on your chest, and you walk down the middle of the road, and we'll lay in the woods and shoot at you, okay? So that's the way it went. And they called us cowards because we wouldn't come out and fight. But it works. And we may find ourselves in the same. The crime bill. The crime bill had very little to do with crime, and it was all about control. More and more control. And the war against dope traffic had very little to do with controlling dope, but a whole lot to do with more control. By the way, property confiscation has become a real big business with these people. They can come in and take your property, and you may never, ever get it back. They're just amazing, amazing injustices done on this. Like one dear black man had gone to a government sale of equipment, and he had to have cash at those sales. And so he withdrew $35,000 from the bank in cash and went to the auction and bought things that he wanted to buy, but he still had, I think it was $14,000 in cash. And the police stopped him and searched and found the cash, and they confiscated the cash. And he could show by record where it all went, and he had the legitimate money, and it cost him $10,000 to get his $14,000 back. That just goes on and on and on, farms and everything else. Now the police are in concert with the dope runners. They're not about to stop it. By the way, the international conspirators control the dope traffic, so don't ever think it's going to stop. That's what the Haiti thing was all about. The generals came in down there and were stopping a lot of the dope and wanted a bigger take. So they had to get Aracide back in, who would keep the flow coming. And that's the reason Aracide is back in down there. And also that's what happened to Manuel Noriega. He quit cooperating with them and wanted a little bigger cut, so they got rid of him down in Panama. So what they do now to make more money, they know where the dope is coming generally in the big lots, but they don't want to catch the dope because dope isn't worth much to a police department or the BTF or the others. They wait until you sell it and it's in the market. Then they take the money. Money they can use, man. But dope, they don't have much use for it. So you see, it's not to their benefit to stop the dope. It's to allow it to get on the street and take the money. And the health care reform. Boy, what a control bill that would have been. The FDA, the Faster Death Association, is how the government controls what you can take and what you can't. By the way, they're trying to stop all of this alternative health. It's a whole lot better to live healthy than it is to be healed. And there are a lot of outstanding products on the market now. God says when he's talking, it's in Ezekiel 47:12, when he's talking about trees and plants, and he says, their fruit shall be your food and their leaves your healing or your medicine. And we're finding that. But it's going to be a hard one to go because the Rockefeller Rothschilds control the pharmaceutical industry. And that's the reason the FDA wants the other stuff. Well, electronic funds transfer, EFT. That's the ultimate in government control and population control, cashless society worldwide. And it's a whole lot closer than you imagine. In fact, I have a teaching here on it because so many people have been deceived by the fearmongers, the mark of the beast. Don't worry about it. If you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, and for sure if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you've been sealed by the Spirit of God, and the other one doesn't work out. If you just read what the Bible says and knows the difference between an and an or, you can figure it out. But at Paris Island, the Marine Corps boot camp, Paris Island recruit depot, they don't have any money on the base anymore and haven't had for over a year. All they have is the little smart cards with a chip in it. And payday, you go over and they run your card through and it credits in the card your pay. And so anywhere you go on the base, telephone, anything else, you put the card in and it takes money out and it's recorded in your card and so forth. Well, when they want to go off the base, they have to drop by a special place or bank and draw out some greenbacks and then go ashore. Or they can turn them back in. So it's being tested there and other places. Works real well. But the interesting, and of course, the interesting thing about it is, once we get to that, and we'll go to that, it's too far along not to. that gives absolute control, because you will not be able to buy nor sell without that. A la Revelation 13:16. No one could buy nor sell unless they had that mark, a mark, which, of course, is your Social Security number, SSS 666. And, of course, Ohio now is issuing a smart card for food stamps, so that they're stopping a lot of that thing. And there's a CalMed Care in California. They have people that are eligible for Medicaid, and they have a card. And I really believe they'll probably have a Medicare card for those who have that. And then, of course, we're moving rapidly toward a national ID card. All that is justified for illegal immigrants and all that sort of thing, but the whole objective is control, absolute control. We're going to have a worldwide plantation, and I'm looking at the slaves. Well, they control through fear and intimidation, like the IRS. As someone said, every time you get a letter from the IRS, you almost have a heart attack. Well, I don't. I pay them every dime I owe them, but I definitely don't want to pay them any more than I owe them, because I don't like the way they spend my money. In fact, I was audited for 3 consecutive years, and each time I was audited, I went back to my records and found out they owed me more money. So the dear little Christian lady at Roanoke says, Colonel Wilson, I don't think they'll be auditing you anymore. Of course, she was a Christian, and we got along real well, and she helped me, because they always ended up owing me about $300 more than I'd claimed. So they haven't bothered me since. But the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the ATF, and then the drug bunch, and then Janet Reno wants a national police now. She wants, that's our lesbian Attorney General. She wants a rapid strike force, rapid deployment strike force of no less than 2,500. And she has gotten someone to introduce a bill, H.R. 97, to bring that in. And to help enforce whatever will occur in the future, we have foreign troops in the United States. The estimates run all the way from a minimum of 30,000, and some estimates run as high as 100,000. And we have actual photographs and all of that. And foreign equipment, a lot of Russian equipment. 2 trains loads of Russian equipment. We have photographs of those en route to the south, down around Mississippi, down in that area. And, of course, Fort Dix, New Jersey, and the adjoining McGuire Air Force Base has been turned over to the United Nations. And you might be surprised to find that Mikhail Gorbachev's headquarters is Fort Presidio in the San Francisco Bay. That's his headquarters. And he's supervising closing of bases and being paid $50,000 to $100,000 for a 30-minute talk wherever he goes. And then there's somewhere between 10 and 20 detention camps throughout the United States. Who are they made for? What are they set up for? There would be a lot of explanations, but I have my suspicions that they're for people like you and I. And because Janet Reno and others have said the fundamental religious Christian religious right is more dangerous than Adolf Hitler. And she's never retracted that. And in fact, she demonstrated how she felt about that down at Waco. The wackos at Waco were the feds, not the people that they hit. Well, let's talk about how the fear comes. I would like to go into detail of what happened at Ruby Ridge, Idaho, and Waco, Texas, are 2 examples of intimidation. But those are only 2 examples of well over 2,000 such incidents that are happening in the United States in the last 2 years. But you don't read about them because it's a controlled news media. They're all a part of the same conspiracy. In fact, what happened at Waco is so grossly distorted that most people thought it was justified. Well, just briefly, what happened at Ruby Ridge in Idaho was Randy Weaver, a former Green Beret, was fed up with civilization, so he took his family, a 12-year-old son and 3 daughters, one about 18 months old, and the one was 7 and the other was 11, and went to the mountains of Idaho and built a little plywood shack and was living pretty well off the land. But the FBI came along. They called him a separatist, but the newspapers called him a white separatist, so that made him horrible. And separatist means leave me alone, man. I want to be alone. That's all it meant. And he was a Christian. He was a believer. So he went up there, living off the land, and a friend, Harris, came along, and he wanted to build a place down the mountain, so he was staying with them. Without any warning, no warning whatever, the dog started barking one morning just before sunup, and they thought it might be a deer, so Harris and a 12-year-old boy grabbed their rifles, ran out the door, and as they ran out the door, someone shot from the woods and killed the dog. So the boy fired in the direction that the shot came from, and then another shot rang out, and they hit the boy in the arm, and his father came to the door and hollered for him to come in the house, and as he turned to run, they hit him in the back and killed him. Now, Harris fired in the direction of the firing that was after the boy dropped to the ground. He fired in the direction, and they were accused, Harris, of killing an agent. Well, it turns out, in the trial that followed, it was another agent that killed the agent that they thought Harris had killed. And one of the things that they did in that trial, it's amazing they didn't throw it out because the government lied, rigged evidence, and so many other things. And they actually flew over the house with a helicopter with one of those large water bucket things under it and was going to do what they did at Waco. They were going to drop gasoline on it because you could smell the gasoline. But it turned out they happened to look up the mountain and here was a news reporter with a camcorder taking pictures. So they had to fly away. But after it was all settled, they did cremate the boy. Well, by the way, when the boy ran in the house, well, he didn't get him in. Harris ran in the house. They hit Harris in the shoulder, and a sniper in the bushes fired, and the mother standing in the door holding the door open with the baby in the arms, they blew her head right off her shoulder with a high-powered rifle, and they also hit Randy in the shoulder. And so for 11 days with her dead body under the table, her children lived with that. And the BATF people, FBI people, stole the body of the boy, and they cremated the boy and the woman, so there'd be no evidence. Well, it turned out in the court that the whole thing was almost thrown out because there was no reason. The jurors, one of the jurors said, we decided that if we'd have been in the same position the Weavers are in, we'd have done probably the same thing they did, you know, without any warning. What was he accused of? Really nothing. They accused him of altering a shotgun and cutting the barrel off too short by a quarter of an inch, something like that, but they were charged with conspiring to overthrow the government, and the judge said that was so absurd he wouldn't even hear that one. And there is a move to try the federal government, the president, and the others for murder in that case. Well, let's look at Waco, and that is probably the most despicable thing that's ever happened in all the history of the United States. Here it is, and here are some facts. Branch Davidians, Davidians, David of the Bible, Davidians, an offshoot of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, had been a tax-exempt, authorized church since 1939 and had never created one problem in the whole thing. In 1987, the McLennan County District Attorney was investigating reports of illegal weapons. He called up to the leader at that time, I think it was Karish at that time, and told them what the problem was. They didn't even have to take a search warrant. Went out, looked through the place, found absolutely no grounds for the charge at all. And then sometime after that, the former sheriff of McLennan County, Jack Harrell, Harwell, rather, he three times had investigated child abuse and illegal weapons and found them all to be wrong. And he did the same thing. He just called up and said, we're going to come out and look it over. Do we need a warrant? No, you don't need a warrant. Just come on. And found absolutely nothing. Well, but it was an extremist religious group, and it ended up, of course, with a flame-throwing tank, and we have videos to prove it, but a flamethrower tank torched the building, and around 100 people died, many of them innocent children and women. The FBI now is called the Federal Baby Incinerator Group because they killed people. I'd like to, it is definitely the most despicable I'd like to point out some real horrible things in that whole thing at Waco that you never heard in the news media. Some whys. Why didn't the BATF apprehend David Karras outside the compound? Everyone in the area knew that he jogged every morning outside and stopped by the local restaurant for a cup of coffee. What crimes did Karras and the Branch Davidians commit that justified the storming of the compound where women and children were put at risk? If the alleged crime was a weapon violation, what implications does that hold for the tens of thousands of gun owners who have not complied with the assault weapons listing that bans all around the country? There are over 300,000 individuals guilty of that in California alone. Will the BTF assault and invade their homes and shoot or burn them as they did at Waco? Indeed, they have invaded over 2,000 homes and businesses last year. That would have been 1992. Why is the BTF not focusing its efforts on true violent gangs, which are well-armed and have even driven out the mafia in some cases? Why don't they look into those? Why didn't the BTF send out two county sheriff officers to serve Karras and the Branch Davidians with a search warrant, as it happened many times before? Why didn't they do that? He complied and cooperated before, and there was no reason to believe that he wouldn't cooperate this time. Why, in July 1992, when the BTF checked a local gun store and found records of Branch Davidian gun purchases, and the store owner called Karras to tell them that the BTF was in his store at that moment, and Karras invited the BTF agents to come out to the compound and check for themselves, did the BTF agents decline his offer? Why did they? The store owner, Henry McMahon, has told this story to the press in great detail. He noted that Karras had always meticulously in filling out the proper paperwork for any gun purchasers. And by the way, after they burned it, they found no remains of any guns in the place. In fact, they told him that any guns they had were in San Antonio at a gun show. And they knew that too. Why did the FBI call the Waco hospitals and tell them to get ready for a large number of burn victims 6 hours before they torched the building? Why did the FBI send the fire trucks, which had been stationed near the compound for 7 weeks, away and keep them away throughout the whole assault of the burning? Why did they had to know that smashing holes in the side of the building and igniting a fire would be disastrous. Why didn't they call the fire trucks until 30 minutes after the fire started? Why did the FBI wait for the day when the winds were blowing at an excess of 40 miles an hour? Obviously a higher fire risk at the time of the 51-day siege. Why did the FBI keep all local law enforcement and Texas Rangers away from Mount Carmel site after the Holocaust and then even bulldozed away any evidence that could have been left? What were they trying to hide? What did they hide? Did the FBI special ops team fire the bullets into Karras and Snyder and other Branch Davidians as they were already dead at the time of the fire, making it look like suicide? And you go on and on, a whole bunch of questions like that that were never answered. Well, everybody thought they were a bunch of radical bunch. No, they weren't. They might have been a little weird, but I know some weird Christians. And you have too. But it's free to be that way. That's what it's all about. The First Amendment. Congress will make no law establishing a religion or interfering with the free practice thereof. So they're not to interfere. But they did. They burned them alive. Well, what do I see coming? Well, I see martial law coming. And, of course, with all the executive orders on the book, you can... almost trigger, anything can trigger martial law. But a thing that was going on when I was on active duty, and I was deputy director of the Marine Corps Reserve for 3.5 years and working with the FBI, we knew that there was a plan that on a signal they would simultaneously trigger riots in 50 major cities in the United States, simultaneously. And when Martin Luther King was killed, he was probably killed by communists, but when he was killed, they thought that was the signal because some notable figure was to be killed as a signal. And they torched a large part of Washington, D.C. They torched East St. Louis. You ought to drive through East St. Louis. It's still a ghost town. And in Detroit and a lot of other places before they finally got the word to them that this wasn't the signal. But that plan is still available. And that will create just exactly the chaos that will be needed for the president to declare martial law. The Constitution is out the window. Everything is gone. And out of that chaos and anarchy will come a dictatorship. Well, history follows a pattern. We pointed this out before. Toynbee and Tolstoy all came to the same conclusion when they studied great governments. And you'll find it in the Bible that it applied to the nation of Israel. Out of slavery comes faith. And out of faith comes strength. And out of strength comes abundance. And out of abundance becomes dependence. And out of dependence comes fear. And from fear, back to slavery. We're in that cycle, and we're down to the fear side, fear part and dependence. Let the government do it. Newt Gingrich and that whole group have proclaimed that the government should be doing absolutely nothing that people can do for themselves.
Hallelujah.
And that's what the government's all about. That's what it should be. That's where it was intended to be. But you can buy votes with this whole system. Well, what do we do? I wish I had a pat answer for you. But the most important thing is to become informed on what's happening. Participate in the political process. And participate based on knowledge that you have. Most Americans don't have the foggiest idea what's going on because they depend on the TV and newspapers. Even way back in the time of Calvin Coolidge now, he said anyone who reads the newspaper and thinks he knows what's really going on is to be pitied. And it's worse now. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a part of the conspiracy, probably did more to get this nation down the road to socialism than any other single president we've ever had. But this one's not over yet. And he said that in national and international affairs, nothing happens by accident. It's all planned. War is all the rest of it. For myself, I would recommend, because when the riots come or whatever, you won't be able to get food, so you might consider some long-term storage food. And if it doesn't occur, glory to God, you can still eat it. So you got nothing to lose, and it may mean the difference between life and death. And the shelf life on most of that food is a minimum of 10 years and some up to 15. And leave it up to you as to whether or not you need a weapon. But I don't know about you, but if they ever require registering weapons, they can forget it. Because registration will lead to confiscation. It's just that clear. It always has. And as far as investments, don't buy real estate in New York City. Because if you get my tape on 666, you'll find out it's the modern-day Babylon. It's not a place. And and become self-sufficient if you possibly can. That means getting out of a large city, and I'll let you decide what is a large city. To me, any city of over 150,000 people is a large city and totally dependent upon the food that's in the grocery stores, and they're probably less than 36 hours or 3 days of supplies within the borders of any cities. And all the members of the trade unions and transportation, all that, all the members of the conspiracy. So they can stop the wheels from rolling. And some people killed each other for 5 gallons of gas in 1973. So guess what they'd be doing if there's a food shortage. And if you're able to, you might want to get out into a rural area where you could probably live off the soil if you had to. But there's only one answer, really. And that is, you must be led by the Spirit of God. If God is leading you, as he has Ralph Wilkerson and others, to go in downtown New York, bless God, he'll take care of you. But if he's leading you to head to the hills and do whatever, then you better start packing up and moving out. But don't wait around to do what somebody else is doing. Like Billy Graham said, if you find two Christians doing the exact same thing, you can be sure one of them missed God. Because it's a many-membered body, and each one of us have a different function in the body of Christ. But if there's a family involved, you ought to have some agreement with your spouse. Like John Hagee said the other day, he said he and his wife never have any arguments. They just have moments of intense fellowship. We said they had just had one of those moments of intense fellowship that extended over about a half a day. And they're driving along in the car. You've probably experienced this, dead silence. And finally they pass a field and here's a big old mule out in the field. And John looks over at his wife and said, "One of your relatives?" She said, "Yes, but only by marriage." Isn't that great? It wasn't in her bloodline. Oh, great. Well, Revelation 22:11 says, Jesus says, "I will come very soon. When you see the wicked being more wicked, and the filthy being more filthy, and the unjust being more unjust." Do you see that? So there's a comma there. But at the same time, this sort of shoots down the rapture. But at the same time, you will see the righteous being more righteous and the holy being more holy. Glory to God. They'll become more like the devil themselves, and you'll become more like guess who? Because when he appears, we'll be like him. What a promise. So, as the scripture says in Luke 21, it says, when you see these horrible things beginning to come to pass, look up. Don't be depressed. Your redemption draweth nigh. The glorification of your body draweth nigh. And what will it take to become a radical religion sect? It's very interesting. The group that put the finger on the Branch Davidians is a CAN, C-A-N. It's the Cult Awareness Network. And they're the government. They sort of consult with the government as who ought to be wiped out and who the problem is. Well, if you believe the Bible is truth, do you believe that? Uh-oh. Too bad about you. You really expect Jesus to physically return to the earth? Boy, I better get out of here. And believe the Bible prophecy is accurate and can be understood? My goodness. And you even attend regular Bible studies? My goodness. You even teach some of your kids at home, homeschool the kids, out of the public system? And you even believe in spanking your children when necessary? Child abuse? Do you even store some food and trying to become self-sufficient and may even own a gun? Well, that's the definition of the Attorney General of a dangerous religious cult. Dangerous meaning you don't fit in the system. We don't have any control over you, and we got to control you, and if we can't control you, we'll fry you. Or we'll put you in one of these detention camps. Well, where do you get such information? Well, first off, I've shown you some things here. The chart, the four administrations of chart, and the bulletin here with the chart on the inside of the Clinton with the news media on it, which isn't on the others. And then the Federal Reserve thing. And my little $10,000 challenge type thing. If anybody can give me 16 scriptures that says there is going to be a rapture, because I give 16 that said there isn't. That's in there just for your edification. And then a list of other tapes of mine. And they're all back there on the table and very hard to get. I only have about 50, I think. And for a buck, you can get them. And that dollar stays here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. I'm not taking it home. I just want you to have the information. And there are publications. I think one of the better ones that really keep up with the conspiracy is a little weekly newspaper out of Washington, D.C. called The Spotlight. How many have heard of The Spotlight? Great. Well, there's a majority of you hadn't. This is the most complete expose of what's really going on, and it's the least expensive. Here's an 800 number you can call. It comes out 51 issues. They're Christian, so they take off to celebrate the birth of Christ, Jesus Christ. And so 51 issues for $38. The 800 number. 800-522-6292. And I believe they would probably accept the mark of the beast, a credit card, if you don't. But if you want, yeah, it's 522-6292 with an 800 before it. And it's really very great. You'll get all sorts of news in here. In fact, that's where you keep up with where the conspirators are meeting and where they are, and they'll give you a report of their... Now, if you pick up one of the $1 packs back there, you'll have the bulletin in it. It's amazing. Well, it's not so amazing how many military officers are in informing people of what's happening, because we took an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign or domestic, and most of our enemies are domestic. They're among us. But Lieutenant Colonel Archibald Roberts, who, by the way, was the first prisoner to be taken in Korea. He was taken prisoner. And he was also in charge of the educational program in Europe that got General Walker fired. He was the educational officer. So the bulletin, in case you don't get it, but there's one in there. So the phone number for that is area code 303-484-2575. 12 issues, $25. Well worth it. He has headed up a movement that has 13 states threatening to withdraw from the United States if we don't quit turning our military over to the United Nations and quit supporting a foreign government on our soil. Two states have already passed it, and 13 others are considering it. He drew up all the papers as to how they're to do it and the whole thing. Another one. This is the more expensive but really detailed. The McIlvany Intelligence Advisory, another Christian. He always has a Bible closeout and says, and that's the bottom line. And an 800 number. Maybe you might not want to write it down, but 12 issues for $115. 28 pages of packed information. But 800-528-0559. Anybody miss that? Okay, great. But the spotlight would be the best source. Any questions? I'll try to repeat the question so we can get it on the tape. Yes, sir. The Washington Times. What about the Washington Times? Outstanding publication. Outstanding. I could give you some background, but I'd rather not, because I'd rather like to see you subscribe to it. And if I gave you some background and tell you it was the Moonies that own it, well, you might want to. But anyway, it's outstanding, and it'll expose things that you'll never read in Catherine Graham's publication, The Washington Post. In Washington, it's called the Washington Compost, and you know what compost is. A bunch of you-know-what. And by the way, she's also on the board of directors of United Press, and she's also the controlling owner of Newsweek. So when you read Newsweek and Time and those, know you're getting garbage. So many states going into sovereignty. I think it's outstanding. It's way overdue, because the Constitution says that anything that's not delegated, as I mentioned a minute ago, the 10th Amendment, anything that's not specifically given to the federal government resides in the states and the people. And that's a part of the movement that Archibald Roberts is backing. And if you ask him for it, he'll give you the whole package that you can send to your legislature, and it tells them exactly how to do it and declare their sovereignty. And it's working. Militias are forming. And up in Montana and some of the other places, sheriffs are getting upset. They saw what happened in Waco. Even if there was an arms violation, the sheriff should have taken care of it. Somewhere up in Montana, a bunch of these BTF and Secret Service people showed up and wanted to get a search warrant to go do something. They were going to do it legal this time. And the sheriff told them it was none of their business. And they said, well, we'll lock you up. And he said, you got it wrong. Guess whose rear end's going to jail? It's yours that's going to jail, not mine. He didn't call it rear end, but they got the picture. And they backed off. Once they know that you know what you're talking about, they'll leave you alone. But if you don't know, it's intimidation all the way along. And, boy, if you haven't gotten that package, and get active and get it to your senators and your congressmen, state, and get them started on the sovereignty movement. We are sovereign states. Supposed to be a republic, not a democracy. I got a little campaign going. I get mad when somebody says it's a Democratic Party. There's nothing democratic about the Democratic Party. It's the Democrat Party. It's full of a bunch of Democrats. It's not a, just like the Republican. But, and, yeah, that could be. Like, the District of Columbia is the District of Criminals, D.C. But somebody had a lady, some, okay, brother. George Bush or the Texas one. Yeah, he was for it, as I understood. Yeah, I think Texas is doing a good job on that. If you didn't know it, Texas recently, they introduced a bill that authorized people to carry concealed weapons. And there were some conditions on it, of course, that you couldn't be a felon and you had to be authorized to carry it. And you had to take, and I thought this is great, you had to take some instruction on how to use it. Do you remember that? Every state should do that. A lot of municipalities are doing it, and boy, the crime rate just goes down. I think one of the most humorous things that's happened that I'm aware of is in the news about 6 months ago that a dear black lady down somewhere in Georgia and down south, 112 years old, and a big black fella came to her door and said he was coming in and he's going to take her money. And guess what this little old lady did? She reached out and grabbed him by the crotch and jerked him around quite a bit, and he went off screaming over the hill. And when they came to interview her and said, what made you do that? She said, he'd be glad I didn't have my gun. Her son had taken a pistol away from her about a week ago, or she'd have blown him away. Yeah, that lady in the back, and then we'll... Yeah, they do in Texas, too. They have to register the gun also. Do what? Good. Montana and some of those western states have had that for quite a while, and I don't think they register them. I'm not too sure about that. But some of those ranch countries, Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, and up in there, we lived in the mountains of Virginia, and every pickup truck had a couple of rifles and pistols, and nobody thought about it. In fact, they didn't even lock their cars. It's just really nice. We lived in a county with only 5,000 people in it, Bath County, Virginia, and 2,000 of them worked at one hotel, and the rest of them were just old mountain boys, good old boys. Their bumper sticker was, good gun control requires a firm grip. And the other one was, they make most of their money foresting down there in the George Washington National Forest. 82% of the county is George Washington National Forest. They said if you're out of a job and hungry, eat an ecologist. The lady here, the lady behind you, I think. Did you have a question? Okay. Oh, the gentleman there. Repeat that.
Don't you think civil rights laws will cause another civil war?
Well, the civil rights laws and the aspect, this group deliberately pits one group against another. That's all part of it. And the affirmative action and quotas was deliberately put in to create animosity. And, of course, Farrakhan and his bunch down in the South are really very militant and are demanding a big belt of the United States to be an independent nation and be to the yeah it's there are many, many factions in the United States that could create a real problem.
NAACP unconstitutional and unchristian.
I don't know about that being about the NAACP, but it really is it really amuses me and somewhat angers me to see people come on and say, a mind is a horrible thing to lose. Please contribute to United Negro College Fund. How far do you think you'd go if you went and said, we want a United Caucasian College Fund? And it's just, you know, it creates that sort of tension all the time. And that's deliberate. In New York, a lady wanted to put a classified ad that she wanted an adult retired man, Christian, male Christian, to live in her duplex free if he would do the maintenance work. And they would not accept the ad because it was discriminatory. He had to be male and he had to be a Christian. The same lady, get you, went to the same office and advertised for a Hindu, a male Hindu, and they took the ad. How about the University of Virginia? Boy, old Tom Jefferson would really have a fit. because they backed the Muslims to publish a, and they even gave them money to publish a publication on the campus of the University of Virginia. And they also another, the Buddhists and all of those. But they wouldn't let the Christians publish one that the Christian wanted to pay for. That's coming up before the Supreme Court.
I got a book. Taking money from the communists and hiring communists to perform his work in
Florida. Probably.
The book,
yeah, there's a lot of that goes on. There's a cross type, all of the horrible practices that go on. Some of them are just almost hilarious if they weren't so horrible of what is really going on. On this abortion thing, it's a statistical fact that a child, an unborn child, is somewhere around 75 times more likely to be killed than an American GI was in Vietnam. Because 1 out of 4 children are aborted, as near as we can tell. Man, I don't know how many millions of Americans served in Vietnam and 58,000 killed.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or from Iran, or you can tell because of the language and everything.
Yeah.
Is our government helping these people out to get those?
This is interesting. The lady is saying that she noticed in stores, and I've noticed it in motels and hotels, that you'll find a lot of people from India own those places, and it's increasing. They're here legally. Most of them are here legally. And they have a unique system operating that they have enough money that one family can sponsor another family. And if you have a sponsor, well, then you can come in because you're not going to end up on welfare. And they take care of them. And then once they get, well, then they can sponsor another one. And hotel and motel business is a very good for a family operation. They can do it in grocery stores. Now, this is very interesting, too. Did you notice that in the riots in California, that they were hitting Vietnamese and Korean stores? They were making money, but, you know, how do you explain where someone can come to this country from Vietnam and can't even speak the language and graduate as an honor student at West Point or own a store, and people who are born and raised here all insist on welfare? But, you know, welfare is just unfair to everybody involved. It just doesn't work as one individual. Somebody had a question? Oh, okay.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.